Welcome to Digging Deep with Evangelist Paul Acqua of Christ Is All Ministries. Far beyond a mere financial prescription, Scripture beckons believers to intertwine their material prosperity with a deeper sense of purpose and reverence for the divine. You see, your finances often serve as a reflection of your values. Understanding the connection between values and finances will allow you to make intentional choices that align with your beliefs and contribute to a more meaningful and purposeful journey in life. All wealth and prosperity ultimately come from God, and discerning how to wield it in ways that echo a commitment to honoring Him is of utmost importance. Be encouraged to acknowledge and prioritize God in your financial matters. In today's message titled, Honor the Lord with Your Possessions, Evangelist Paul Acqua delves into the intersections of faith, finance, and the ethical considerations of stewarding one's resources. Let's join in.
The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10 that, Honor the Lord with your possessions, and with the first fruits of all your increase. Verse 10 says, So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. Hallelujah. In this glorious season, I want you to take note of what the wise men did when they visited the baby Jesus. The wise men from the Bible impart a timeless lesson on honoring God with your wealth or possessions through their actions in the story of Jesus Christ. Open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 2, and I'm reading from verse 1. This is what the Bible says. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Then let me jump to verse 11. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Notice that in verse 11, it says, And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So these wise men are teaching us a lesson. When the wise men from the east visited Jesus, they gave him gifts. They had not come simply to pay respects out of dutiful reverence. The lesson on honoring God with your possession is vividly portrayed here in the gifts they brought to honor the infant Jesus, the gifts gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These were not just ordinary offerings. They were precious gifts, my friend. These were heartfelt gifts of care and love. They had come to worship the Lord. In fact, by bringing gifts for the king, they partly fulfilled a prophecy. Because in the Old Testament, we read that Gentiles from around the world would come to the Messiah bearing gifts that actually included gold and frankincense. So they were actually fulfilling Old Testament prophecy. These men were indeed paying their respects to the great Jewish king, even bringing gold, frankincense, and myrrh to honor him. We can honor God. One of the best ways to honor God is actually honoring him with our wealth or possessions or substance. These gifts represented their desire to use their wealth to worship the Messiah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The wise men had come to meet the greatest king of all, the great king who would rule over the whole world. That's what the Bible says, and we know that. And so the Bible says also in the book of Daniel that, I saw in the night vision, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man, and he came to the Ancient of Days, and was presented before him, and to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and language should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. This is the King of kings and Lord of lords that at this glorious season we are celebrating his birth. The Son of Man is a title Jesus often used for himself, identifying himself as both human and divine. The wise men expected to meet an extraordinary person. In fact, he could not be considered a mere mortal at all. It is no wonder these men would have been eager to meet the King of Kings and honor him with gold. According to the book of Daniel, this Son of Man would come with the clouds of heaven. He would be served by all the people of the earth, from every nation and every language. So the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, would receive an eternal kingdom with unlimited dominion and glory. That great monarch would be immortal and indestructible. Truly, this was to be the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. Hallelujah! That is why they came with gifts of great value. Among them was gold, which in Jesus' day would have been a wonderful financial blessing. Let us look at these people's example and honor the Lord with our possessions. They had no more precious resource to worship the highest ranking king of all time and eternity. So they said, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." What a reverence. Somehow the wise men understood that Jesus was more than a man, even more than a king. They had not come merely to esteem a great king, but to worship the divine king. In scripture, neither mortals nor angels are permitted to receive worship, but Jesus was greater than a man. He was greater than the angels. He was and is the unique and eternal Son of God. Yes, they had come to worship, but they didn't come empty-handed. They came with precious gifts to honor the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let us learn their examples and honor the Lord as we celebrate his birth. Jesus Christ is the Lord of Lords, King of Kings. And the Bible says a generous person will be made rich. That's what the Bible is saying. If you are generous, you will be made rich. The wise man's generosity extends beyond the material gifts, however. They exemplify the generous heart willing to give the best they had in honoring the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior of the world. Their offerings were not only expressions of homage, but also acts of honoring the Lord that reflected the depth of their reverence for the divine. So this story teaches a profound lesson on the way to honor God, emphasizing that to truly honor God involves giving from the heart, offering one's best, and acknowledging the worthiness of the recipient. The wise men's gifts were not mere tokens. They were sacrificial offerings, demonstrating a generosity that goes beyond the ordinary. So in the Christian tradition, the story of the wise men inspires believers to approach generosity with a similar spirit. It encourages giving not only material resources, but also the best of one's time, the best of one's talents, and the best of one's love in worship and service to God and others. The lesson from the wise men resonates through the ages, challenging individuals to cultivate a spirit of generosity that reflects the love and devotion witnessed in the humble setting of Jesus' birth. Hallelujah. So again, if I go back to Proverbs 3:9-10, say, "Honor the Lord with your possessions, and with the first fruits of all your increase, And it doesn't stop there. Verse 10 says that you will get a reward. So your barns will be filled with plenty. Will be filled with plenty. Have you noticed that? And your vase will overflow with new wine. But you see, the wisdom of this world says, well, I would give, but I just don't have it. If I was to give, I would be even worse off. I would have less money if I give. That's the way that the wisdom of the world looks at it. But God says no. When you put him first and you take a portion of what you have got and give it away, you will have more. That's what the Bible is saying. To the natural mind or to the carnal way of thinking, to those who are leaning on their own understanding, this doesn't make sense. If you have money and you give some away, you will end up having less than what you had before. And that's true if you don't factor God into this matter. But because you have a God who says, when you honor the Lord with your possession or wealth or substance and the first fruits of your increase, then your barns are going to be full. They are going to overflow. Your presses will overflow with new wine. We just need to trust him and do as he commands us. Bible says, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured to you. We know this off by heart in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Bible said, now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. We know this scripture by heart. So all of these promises will work for you, my friend, because there is a God who has made these promises. Therefore, when you have some money and let's say you give 10% away, you are going to end up having twice the amount you had before. I'm telling you, that's what the Bible says, because that's what the word of God says. The word is saying you get a hundredfold return in this life. If you really believe that, then you will do it. Who in the world would not take $1,000 or £1,000 sterling and give $100 away and end up getting $2,000? Who would not do that? Who wouldn't do that? Let me ask you this question. Anybody would do that if you believed. If you are not doing it, then you don't believe. You can give an excuse and say, oh, I would if I could. I don't have it. You can make any excuse you want, but you do not honor the Lord. You don't really reverence him. You don't really trust him. You are not giving him the first fruits. You are giving him the leftovers. And that's the reason your barns are not full and your presses aren't overflowing with new wine. If you will honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase, I tell you, what he has promised in his word will actually work in your life. You may say, oh, it's not that simple. You don't understand my situation. And I will tell you this, that there are no exceptions at all for what the Bible is saying. It says, honor the Lord with your possessions and the first fruit of your increase, and you will see abundant return. The word of God is absolute. It's the touchstone of truth. And somebody says, well, I just can't believe that. And that's the problem right there. You just don't believe it. If you believe it, it would work for you. I'm telling you, this will work for anybody. It will work for anybody, but you have to believe it and you have to do it wholeheartedly. Believe it with all your heart, and I tell you, it's going to work. When you give to the needy or the poor, you honor God. When you give to good works, you honor God. You give to the kingdom, you honor God, and you will get a hundredfold return. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. 2 Corinthians 9:8. This text of scripture is stating that God is willing and able to supply every need of the cheerful giver. You see, but that doesn't happen automatically. There are conditions to be met. Galatians 6 verses 9 to 10 says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." You see, verse 10 says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." My friend, give and it shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaking together, shall actually be given back to you. And if you have not received Christ as your Lord and Savior, then this will not work for you. First, you need to give God your heart. After that, then you can then honor him with your possessions. And if you will, you may pray this prayer after me, saying every word from your heart. Say, "Dear Lord, I recognize that I am a sinner and need to be saved. I understand that Jesus died in my place and suffered the judgment of all my sins. I believe that Jesus rose from the dead and he is at the right hand of the Father. Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Come and live in my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. Amen."
Thank you for joining us today on Digging Deep with Evangelist Paul Acqua. If you enjoyed today's message, be sure to tell a friend. Also, make sure you never miss an episode. If you have any prayer request, you can contact us at +44 787 945 6907. You can also visit www.ciamint.com for more resources to help you dig deeper into your Christian life. Christ is all ministries, sharing Christ, changing lives.